It's not about the technology, it is what you do with it. Welcome to Digital Dash. We are excited about the opportunities technology presents in our modern world, and we spend a lot of time tinkering with the use cases. Join us every week on our podcast as we share our findings and break things down into zeros and ones. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app, and enjoy this episode.
Tale, are we ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, guys. I'm so excited to hear once again. It's me, Selon Donyo of AFD Tech Talk, and this is the Digital Dash podcast. We are back from our break. What have you been up to, Kraha? I've spent my holidays, you know, relaxing. I've gone back to gaming, and the party time is over, and then we are now back to work. And I have with me here in the studio Aduji.
Hi,
Chala bro. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And what a year it's been. What a 2022 it's been. We are in a new year, 2023. We have a lot of expectations for this year. But first, I think we'd like to use this episode to touch on some of the tech moments which stuck out to us from last year. So since you've not been here in a while, I think I'd like to hear more of your voice today. So you could take the lead and tell me about a few of your tech moments from which stood out to you from last year. So for the listeners, this is what we're going to be doing today. It's a brief episode, so enjoy the ride.
Yeah, sure. It's been like a year since I was on this podcast. Right?
Yeah.
Into the Bumble episode.
It's been a year?
I think so. Maybe even more. But it's been a long year. Tech trends, not all positive. Lots of negatives, like the mass layoffs from Google, Alphabet's your parent company, Amazon laid off, I think, about 20,000 employees.
Yeah, so many.
Twitter also laid off like
half of
yeah, they just
workforce
after the Elon Musk takeover, and I'll talk about that too. And other companies, and I think that the layoffs were because of how there was a demand for cloud-based services during the pandemic. And so in 2020, all these big tech giants went on a hiring spree. And then in 2022, the world seemed to go back to, in quotes, normal. And so profits went down. And so they had to, you know, do the necessary or unnecessary evil by laying off tens of thousands of people from these companies. So that was one of the biggest highlights for me. I'll say the acquisition of Twitter by Elon Musk is something no one saw coming.
Okay.
For the most part,
do you think it was a smart thing he did?
I from his perspective, I don't see the point of why he acquired Twitter. I don't see what was in it for him. I mean, he started talking about free speech. I don't think anyone in their right senses would buy a company.
I think he just wanted a platform where he could share memes unprovoked.
And he was doing that for free. He did not have to spend $44 billion on Twitter.
Yeah, he has the money. You don't.
As a, in quotes, free speech advocate. And even that has a big question mark on it, as many things have happened under his tenure at Twitter, which look like the opposite of what he said he claimed to stand for. Shadow banning and tweet suppression and blocking people who come for him and things like that. So it's quite contradictory. And speaking of the app experience itself, Twitter, there's been some good and bad additions since he came on, mostly bad in my opinion.
Okay, but can you tell us about a few of them?
The view count thing on the left of everyone's tweets is just so distracting. I've had it for weeks now, and it makes no sense to me. I'm not getting used to it. And the reason why he said they were introducing that, I don't think it has actually had an effect. The double tap thing on the homepage, I don't have it on my Twitter, but I've seen it on other people's Twitter, where there's the following and then there's the for you tab. I feel like it's unnecessary. I am looking forward to some features that he has announced though, like being able to segment bookmarks into categories. not just for Twitter Blue users, but for everyone. So I'm looking forward to that. He says it's coming in February. So it's been a good thing and a bad thing that he acquired Twitter. I think it's been a mostly bad thing, but it's a big highlight, and we'll see what 2023 has for us on Twitter. That's where I spend most of my life, unfortunately. So these things really impact me. Tech trends, other tech trends. So last year, in terms of devices, mobile phones, etc. Personally, I don't know about you, but I wasn't excited. I think we're having a conversation and you spoke about the Pixel 7. But me, in my case, I wasn't too excited. So I don't know what you have to say about devices and Pixel 7.
So the Pixel 7 was one of my favorite tech moments from last year. Anyone who knows me in the last couple of years knows that Kwame now successfully converted me into a Pixel devotee, and I've always used
the Pixel. And then he moved on to Apple.
He defected. I mean, he couldn't stay true to the cause. It happens. Sometimes a man introduces an idea and he himself loses faith in it. I don't fault him. I know Kwame now. Whoa, one day, come back to the Pixel side of things. So I'm currently using the Pixel 5. I was considering switching to the 6, then I saw the 7. I followed the reveal of the Pixel 7, which I thought was one of the best things Google had come out with in a while. People had always criticized Google for their design aesthetics, the kind of chipsets they used in their phones, the Snapdragon. They always seem to use a later generation than what was available, like on the market. Yes. So with the Pixel 6, they started developing their own in-house chips or SoCs, and which is like tech that they call the Tensor chip. They improved upon it in the Pixel 7 and the 7 Pro, and also they introduced the Pixel Watch. The much rumored Pixel Watch was also introduced, and they talked about the Pixel tablet, which has not yet been released, but there was a video showing it off, and they had plans to even integrate it with the Nest devices. And I was very excited when I saw this. I was like, wow, I'm definitely going to get Pixel 7. And now, because there's a reason why the Pixel 7 has won a lot of smartphone awards since it was introduced. MKBHD, for example, thinks is the best Android smartphone of 2022, and also the best Android smartphone camera, beating a lot of other phone makers to it, like the Samsung. So Samsung's and the Huawei's, which have traditionally had come out with very good Android like smartphone cameras. So the Pixel 7, and I'm definitely going to get one probably this year. I'm looking forward to making my Pixel 5 my backup phone and the Pixel 7 my main driver for the day.
I mean, we're in 2023. Wouldn't you rather wait to see what the Pixel 8 has to offer?
I always consider a few things. For example, if you have a phone like the Pixel 7, which has been tried and tested now I know the device is tried and tested. Also, any bugs which would have been in the OS have been ironed out by now. So me getting it at a later date, I have that safety net that I'm going to have a device on my hands which is bug-free, tried and tested and approved by the market, has been like, do you understand?
Yeah.
The Pixel 8, Google still hits or misses. I mean, some of the phones it's made have been hits or misses, like the Pixel 2. Mm-hmm. People also complained about the Pixel 4 in several ways, the battery life and all that. So once again, I want a device which has been tried and tested. And the other thing is, I don't get money like that too.
I was just about to mention that the Pixel 7 will be cheap
when the Pixel 8 comes out. Yeah. So it will make a lot more sense for me to get it by then. Yeah, I'll probably I can choose. I also have a Pixel 3. I can choose to sell that one off and maybe just add some money to it and get the 7. It makes sense to me. Unfortunately, we don't live in the West where these trading programs allow you to swap older generation phones. Not just the Google. Like, I mean, iPhone does it. But Apple, that I first knew about this kind of like trading programs. Google also does it that well. I could just trade in my older Pixel 3 for a newer phone.
I use the iPhone 12. The iPhone 14 came out last year. I wasn't too impressed by it. But if I were to change my phone this year...
You go to a Pixel 7?
No.
Why no?
I feel like I'm locked in the Apple ecosystem, and I'm not complaining. Like, I'm fine with it.
You're
like,
fine with it.
All my devices are Apple, and I just don't want to step out of the ecosystem. Yeah,
that's an expendable income talking.
No, I bought these things over time. Like I said, I use an iPhone 12, which is, 2-3 years old. I mean, not, mine isn't 2-3 years old, but the iPhone 12 is 2-3 years
old. 2-3 years old, okay.
I use an iPad Pro, which is a 2020 model, right? Yes. I use a MacBook Pro, which is a 2020 model. I use an Apple Watch, which is ancient. I have other iPhones, which are also really old. And my work MacBook is also from 2019. So I don't use, they're all Apple devices, but they're not like the latest, greatest Apple devices. I don't have any device with the M chip, the M family of chips.
Oh, okay.
And I'm cool with them. If I'm going to upgrade this iPhone, I'll probably go to the iPhone 13. I've not really been impressed. Well, maybe the MacBook family, the M series, I love them. But I've not been, other than that, I've not been impressed by these other devices that have been announced in the last year or two. But then on the software side of things, that's where, can I even call it software? That's where my neck has turned a little, especially in the AI.
Yeah, especially AI, in the department. Google is like just working magic with AI. And speaking of AI, do you remember one very notable thing which happened last year? Drum roll, badumtis, ChatGPT and Dolly. Anytime I'm saying chat GPT, my mind, I don't know, subconsciously wants to say GTP.
GTP is the Ghanaian in you.
Always confuses me. Like, I have to focus and, like, you know, meditate and channel my inner chakras.
Such a terrible name.
Yeah. What does it even mean?
Wait, what does GPT mean? I knew this. I think it's generative programming text. I'm not sure, but you can confirm that. But yeah, ChatGPT was my personal favorite thing from last year. Yeah, but before ChatGPT, there was Dolly 2, which is a text to image generator. I'd been following it on the sidelines from early last year, maybe actually in 2021, I think. And I'd been following on the sidelines, and I watched reviews, and I think MKBHD made a video about it and everything, and it looked really, really cool. And then it made its way to the general public. I'm a user of Canva, the paid version of Canva.
I was about to talk about that. Yeah. You go ahead.
Yeah, and Canva introduced a plugin, text to image generation
tool. It's so cool.
And I have been using it for my personal work and to some extent for work, and it's so amazing. It is so cool. It's mind blowing. You can give it the most random description. Like, the first thing I tested, granted it was influenced by my boss, but I wanted it to generate an image of a belly dancer in Accra. And don't judge me on that. Like I said, it was influenced.
Is that a kink for you or what?
No. Just, I was trying to think of the most random thing, and it generated a picture of a belly dancer standing in the streets of a place which looked like Accra. Like, it's an artificial place, but then you see it and you're like, it looks like something that could pass for Accra.
Okay.
And a belly dancer in there. Of course, it doesn't get faces right and everything, but it's still pretty cool.
It's good for a start.
I've noticed with faces and hands, it's not really good, but with description, I did waterfalls and everything. I even did a test on Twitter where I posted pictures of waterfalls from evergreen rainforest, and I asked people to spot the real ones and the fake ones, and people were like, this is real, no, that's fake. So yeah, I've been following OpenAI since Elon Musk and Sam Altman started OpenAI, and then Elon Musk left, of course, for his own reasons, and just seeing the research they've been working on and some of the tools that they've been teasing out. But to get ChatGPT in my hands or on my computer was really, really cool. So ChatGPT is basically an AI tool that can tell you everything and can help you with work. It can help you with writing code. It can help you with reviewing code and identifying bugs. It can help you with writing articles, which is very relevant in my field of work. It can help you with your assignments, writing your thesis. It's insane. Whoa. It's Google Search 2.0 officially.
The way you're like just going on and on about this, I can tell you're like really enthusiastic. do you know what? I'd like us to save this enthusiasm for an episode fully dedicated to talking about AI and ChatGPT.
If we get into ChatGPT, we're not going to finish now.
We're not going to finish now.
Yeah, it was just a major highlight, especially from I think it was rolled out on November 30th.
November 30th. Oh, okay.
I'm quite sure I've used it every day since it was rolled out.
Oh, then I guess a lot of people must have had a swell December, like trying out this tool.
Oh, yeah. My dad did.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So another interesting thing for me, which came out in late December. Ghana is usually late to these games, but well, as I said, it's something that's still, you know, worth the experience. So MTN finally made their eSIMs available for public, the public to sign up, and I think I heard that Airtel Tigo also had an eSIM available for use. Now I have not used the eSIMs available by either MTN or Airtel Tigo yet. I use both networks, and I plan to. I've already applied for the MTN eSIM, but I've not really gotten a response yet. And for the Airtel Tigo, I think I'm going to do that today. And I'd like to come and talk about my experience using these two services when I'm back. I'm so excited. It's definitely going to be a good 2023 with these eSIMs by my side, so to speak. Another thing which this is me personally. In 2023, I went back to playing games like I used to. A lot of people don't know this, but I used to be a hardcore gamer, but I kind of like became chill about it for a while. And recently I decided to, you know, go back. I started following video games again, actively started following Digital Foundry and Game Ranks and most of those gaming channels on YouTube. Started playing games like God of War, which is like the Ragnarok is out, but it's going to take a while before it comes to PC. Follow the Game Awards and stuff, and this was like my highlight in tech last year. So my entertainment life definitely got better. Speaking about entertainment, I think HBO last year was also they announced that there was some kind of merger with Discovery.
Yeah,
and it's resulted in a lot of things happening, which I'm personally not happy about. One of the negatives of this merger has been that they've started canceling a lot of shows, and there's no plans to renew them. Also, they've even stopped. They're going to take off some of their existing shows off the shelves of HBO Max in order to stop paying the residual income. I think there's a word for it. To the actors and actresses from that show.
Yeah.
Because as long as the show is still streaming, even though it's over, they still have to be paying actors and actresses something. And I think the new parent company does not want to incur a lot of cost on that side. So they are pulling all those off the shelves. And it's quite sad. But anyway, let's see what happens with these guys in 2023.
Yeah.
So if you have been listening to this podcast, Edu G and I have just gone on and on ranting and raving about our tech moments from last year, and we are looking forward to some of these new trends in 2023, which we're going to be discussing in the next few weeks. So we would like you to subscribe to this podcast in whichever app you are using, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you consume your content from. We can be found in any of these apps as Digital Dash by AFD Tech Talk. And also, if there's anything in this episode you'd like to top up or you'd like to talk about with us, you can find us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram as at Digital Dash. So there's a underscore in the dash, like a literal dash in the dash. Go ask for that double entendre. Okay, so I've been your host, Salom Donyo, and I've been here with...
Edu G.
Chale, that's your surname, man.
Nyomi.
Okay. I told you that it reminds me of something which I don't want to remember. Anyway, so until the next episode, peace out and we'll catch ya. Bye.
Bye.